interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 565. This thing is not stopping, and I don't think it's going to stop just because we whine and complain. It takes action, as I've been telling you. Being free here is not a spectator sport. Being free enough, I suppose. So you have to get you behind the woodshed. Our first report here is an old report, just a couple weeks ago, if not last week, where people came together quick, because you have to. The encroachers, the usurpers are looking for every weakness, and they don't go to sleep, it seems. But government missteps are a boot on the face of mankind forever. Don't let that happen, as we read. Those main schools backtracked on using fingerprints to track students. It was worse than that. There's going to be a whole system that they're putting in. Parents, those custodial agents of the ward of the state, the child, these are legal terms here. If you've never heard that before, you need to look into these. Try not to be a parent. That becomes the custodian of the child, which is a ward of the state. Be the mother and father. They likely won't recognize that, but you have to insist. Maybe even that those your sons and daughters are your property, for as terrible as that sounds, you better have a property right in them. You better be able to track that title back through. If you think I talk about patents, it's just nothing. That's the ultimate evidence of exclusive possession. So that's what you kind of have to think about. Anyway, parents had privacy concerns about the growing biometric surveillance in schools following our recent reporting, in the face of mounting criticism from parents in the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine, a plan to utilize biometric technology for student attendance tracking by Caribou High School has now been dropped. The shelved project, I guess it's still there, ready to be pulled out when no one's paying attention, involved the deployment of Identimetrics, a fingerprint detection software produced by a Pennsylvania-based company. Isn't that where the Biden started? The software was aimed at bolstering student record accuracy and circumventing issues tied to missing student ID cards. And what it ends up being was that truancy problem as well, and everything else. Like, they didn't even know what your little ones looked like. So they needed to get you on the digital track and into the inculcation of that's okay for the future that they want in the digital gulag they're setting up. But don't be a cricket and don't be misstepped on. Get you behind the woodshed is how that happened. People stepped up and got right in their face. And that's not going to be the end of it. But there we go. Just an example of what happens and what you have to be doing anymore. It used to be you could not worry about it, but that's no longer the life and the reality. And so it's what I try to do here, explain the pathways. If there is something you can do, it's not futile to be ready and understand the condition, the situation, the subject matter that you are into. And being a family, you know, mother, father, there's a ton. There's all kinds of stuff in your life, like there is for anybody, but then they bring in this other thing. And I guess the big warning to us was, and the big thing that caught my mind a long, long time ago, was when I started to catch on to what UN, United Nations things and stuff was, and when the rights of child came forward, started to read it, I realized what it would be used for in part, not all. And boy, they've been able to amplify that and really take a lot of charge of your own, of your charges. They take control of the kids underneath the various doctrines of the state. And the state is the father, and the parent is nothing. It's just a custodian. Anyway, we'll go through that maybe one day. But read your local education laws and rules and see where you are relative to that, and see what it is when you sign your kids up to the indoctrination centers. So relative to backtracking and misstepping here, let us jump to the U.S. government to toss in and insist the same addressing, but first a public notice on the cognitive capacity of the guest of honor-ish attending the feast. We're talking about setting the table here for the last few weeks, if you picked up on that little theme. Months ago, I saw the clues suggesting that to remove Biden with the least adverse of political effect here, as we're looking at this thing, they were going to have to use a diminished mental capacity. Well, as you've seen and heard in the last few weeks, I have not been disappointed in that observation today, and what a doozy they've hit on in this. And I wanted to touch this again a little bit because of what it does. The broad spectrum that it touches on somebody coming in under the color of a special counsel prosecutor and saying the head of state of the United States doesn't really have his cognitive functions together sufficiently that he can't stand a trial. In other words, they've used this to evade justice. Otherwise, he would have, remember? So ground is shifting under Biden's feet after her report. Well, last week, Special Counsel Robert Hur released a bombshell report declining to press charges against U.S. President Joe Biden, partially because his report said the president would appear to the jury as a, quote, elderly man with a poor memory, close quote, and therefore would have trouble convincing the jury of his intent. And listen to these standards that they're applying. And they're not wrong. This is the key. If you're looking and listening to what's going on, how they're getting somebody out of culpability is pretty interesting. From the so-called highest places in the land, and since I believe it's all in a stinking abyss, it's actually in the lowest places. They speak in inverted tones. So understand here that the Biden guy here has access to the nuclear football. And on the other hand, though, with his poor memory, maybe he can't remember that, or maybe the nuclear football is in any regard a special prosecutor. The counsel presumes, I guess, that he can carry that football. He can have a guy next to him that carries that football for him. Maybe he will forget. Maybe his memory's not real good. Why is this guy following me with this purse? At any rate, this is what's set up by this special prosecution, the counsel, presuming upon and usurping the opinion of the jury of the judicial branch. His opinion here is from the executive branch. What he was deciding was what is entitled to the judiciary to do. So we see a breach just in his discussion on this. So as we look at how the organic establishment is or was, we can ask the question is, how do you like those tripartite road apples? This is what this turns into as we watch this break down. You know, I suspect taking Biden out through the understandable cognitive decline and fix that bevy of other problems. And what you watch, look at everything that starts to line up as they did this. You know, it was amazing, quite amazing. So anyway, we move on and we listen to what the upstart coming, if he goes out before an election, is. On Monday, Vice President Kamala Harris told a U.S. media outlet that she is ready to serve, while slamming the report as wrong and politically motivated. Well, it sounds like it's a criminal protection racket to me, but I don't know, politically motivated. If it was politically motivated, they would have said he should stand trial, don't you think? But at any rate, the stupidity that comes out of this woman's mouth is I can't even think of it. First of all, whether wrong or politically motivated, she negates her claim that she's ready by admitting Brandon's cognitive incapacity when saying she is ready to serve, and she wouldn't have to be ready to serve on that basis if she knew he was cognitively adequate. Besides here, she would already be serving in her office, not having to ready to serve, but serve on the ascension to the president is already conditionally included. But more on this, the 25th Amendment adopted in 1965 following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy clarifies the succession in the event of the U.S. leader's sudden death or resignation and allows the vice president to assume their responsibilities under Section 4 of the amendment. The vice president and the cabinet are also allowed to remove the president if he is deemed physically incapable of performing his duties but refuses to leave office. That power has thus far never been used. So we look at here, the fix is in. And this is political gold, it is. But what does the culture-appropriating word salad Annie intend to serve up for y'all? Let us toss in the question. Did word salad Annie, this swamp creature, chomp her own granny? Well, I can't tell, but from Kamala's popularly unapproving cognitive linguistic oratory, if not mental dysfunction. Who is she about? What a team these folks make, don't they? Well, back to Biden anyway. And can you believe this oxymoron? As we keep reading about this and we start to understand what's going on, Biden's prosecutorially found cognitively disabled immunity from crime, and because third-party jurors couldn't find intent against Biden as an acceptable functioning president, how are the people to find that? Or on the other condition, not subject to prosecution when Biden wasn't so cognitively impaired at the time of the national security crimes committed during Biden's long political career. When was that supposed to be? When is he supposed to have no intent on that time that he's being exonerated underneath a current cognitive disability? And for the same things that Trump is charged with. How is that actually justice? Well, it's just us. You know, again, this is just a kabuki theater. Trump is not out of this. Trump is all part of this game. Keep everybody cheerleading for a side. That's all this is about. But we can see how the government can work, and dysfunctionally so. And out of the blue, they just bring up dysfunction, and that's supposed to answer all the questions, and no one has a peep. The Uniparty party will not peep on this. And so to set this up now for the deeper consideration, the cognitively dysfunctional reality of paying for a genocidal hitman in Biden here, it's a moral obligation and a duty to accept that reality. As we were talking, Putin and Russia is saying the United States has to start accepting realities. And now this becomes this reality. This moral obligation attaches with what this cognitively dysfunctional president is doing relative to Israel, and the duty to accept that reality, to do the right thing, to stop the immorality in its tracks, and he's not, and to eliminate its potential, this potential that's going on with that moral obligation that's been breached, and earnestly work, as Russia is, to denazify what we see going on in Gaza. People don't want to think about it. When you search the Zionist Federation back, they were working hand in glove with the Nazis. And it's also they want to call it Jewish, but I guess we can go Bolshevik, is a little bit different, I suppose. Again, the Jewish orthodoxy, the faithful, seem to be pawns in this as well. But this is politically motivated. This is all politics going on, the people wanting to maintain power. This has been a long-term thing. What Russia thought it ended in World War II, it's now trying to end forever. Now we heard Putin say that this is being overseen by a cognitively dysfunctional president in the United States, enough so that such that he evades crime. So again, deeper into this, it gets to be more and more precarious, and we just see the lack of justice. And as I think about that, did anyone else notice the potential and ominous threat that Putin made to the Nazified West, using as evidence the Canadian parliamentary allegiance in that parliamentary meeting that we saw, that where they honored someone who fought against the Russians who were trying to take out the Nazis. Ostensibly, the United States was too. That was pretty well destroyed in Operation Paperclip, exposing the whole plan if we'd have known it. And he said, well, you, quote, you say, and this is that interview, you say that Hitler has been dead for so many years, 80 years, but his example lives on. The people who exterminate the Jews, Russians, and Poles are alive, Putin said. Listen very carefully to that part of that interview. They were showing a picture of the parliament. It's very, almost chilling to hear this. He says, and the president, and the current president of today's Ukraine, applauds him in the Canadian parliament and gives him, the 98-year-old Yaroslav Hunka, a standing ovation. Can we say that we have completely uprooted this ideology if what we see is happening today? That's what denazification is in our understanding. We have to get rid of those people who maintain this concept and support this practice to try to preserve it. That is what denazification is. That is what we mean, Putin said. Think about that statement. Very serious stuff here, folks, that was going on. overseen by a cognitively dysfunctioning president of the United States, right across the border. So with these realities in mind, we really need to take a deeper thought. Again, you can look at the news and say, oh, it's just superfluous, but it's actually telling us a whole lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of things going on that anybody in America that wants to keep America is going to have to come to terms with. I hear lots of ideas, but I don't hear anybody with an integrated thought about it. So we also hear and move additionally from cognitive warfare here to the increasing reality of cognitive decline and its functional cover for crime as we move in here and see this article, Biden aide secretly admits missteps in response to war in Gaza. Again, look at the history of this. Don't just take opinion in news articles and news shorts. Start looking deep and far in the history. Why Putin was saying what he was saying. Why, a few weeks later, Putin said that he would prefer Biden as the next president because he's an old school politician. And that fired the White House up. Biden called Putin an SOB. If you don't understand the gameplay, high-level gameplay Putin is doing, they know what they're doing. They know exactly the condition. And they're not going to turn off of this. And when Putin says they're going to denazify wherever the Nazis are, and they're showing a video of the Canadian Parliament, I think we need to consider what they might eventually be talking if the West continues to be stupid. The West continues to be guided, led by the cognitively dysfunctional, even those that haven't yet been found, because no special counsel has looked into it, politically or not. This story here, the ongoing Palestine-Israel conflict, is compounding Joe Biden's challenges on the political front despite pressure from fellow Democrats to call for a ceasefire. Biden maintains support for Israel. However, his comments and characterizing casualties as a price of waging war have led to a decline in his popularity over his voter base. The U.S. President's remarks disputing the casualties from Israeli airstrikes and describing fatalities as a price of waging war sparked public outrage, inciting mass protests demanding a ceasefire. The United States has effectively been isolated on the Palestinian issue in the UN Security Council due to the blocking of all efforts by the international community to end the hostilities in the Palestinian-Israel conflict zone. Russia's UN envoy Vasily Nebenzia said on Saturday, top aide of Biden's administration has admitted mistakes in the U.S. government's reaction to the Palestinian-Israeli war during a private meeting with the leaders of the Arab American community in Michigan, according to the New York Times. Let me offer here quickly. They put Palestine in front. This was Israel's war against people who belong to the territory, Israel's unjust war. They put Palestine up front like this is a lawsuit, and the Palestinians are prosecuting that lawsuit. But anyway, this is all part of the propaganda. John Feiner, President Joe Biden's deputy National Security Advisor, disclosed that the United States government regrets its missteps since the conflict broke out. Is this missteps or is this cognitive incapacity? So let us stop there. The reality is we don't need no stinking badges to identify what's wrong here. We have all the power to make that assessment for us as the people. Besides, that was the political voter base answer he gave in this article, if you go look for that as well. And notice the administration only has regret. Is that all? You listen to a genocide going on and you just have regret of missteps? There's no immediate action to reverse and make whole the irreparable harm these criminal missteps have wrought? We don't have any moral scruples about that at all anymore? The U.S. acknowledges there is a war going on in a place no war is legitimately possible as well. What? Wow. So the government acknowledges missteps, but overlooks the very first step of failure of duty and obligation in these matters, that there is a war at all times in Palestine. Isn't it time for the U.S. government to accept the reality that it is morally and lawfully wrongful to protect a wanton, recalcitrant, genocidal psychopath? Is the failure to do that a misstep? Cognitive dysfunction. I'm not so sure I want to set up that as a cognitive dysfunction because we're talking about a whole entire country. This is no different than the same as the United States government will have to accept the new realities in Ukraine, as Putin has been talking. And this new reality that has been now coming forward that people are starting to see is that this is governments too in these places, is that the United States government is not just protecting and harboring but fostering and encouraging evil in this, but has the duty and obligation of eliminating that evil wherever it is found, as Russia intends for the same style Nazism that's destroying Palestine and Kunukistan and the rest of the West. Or as we saw in Operation Paperclip and those things, aside for the moment, that wouldn't prove it out anyway. And well, then what about Russia's intention to this end in Palestine, despite its stated intention? It's not even congruent with relative to application in Palestine from Russia. As you know, I'm critical of all these things. It's not, we champion what Putin says. They're telling you some truths. But what they don't tell you, they omit to tell you, is that they helped to allow all this. And this is way back in history, back in the 1940s. Yeah, there's a whole lot here that Tucker Carlson left on the table for us to devour if we want to be knowledgeable about what this is and what governments actually do and how they cover up their crimes. And we're witnessing so many tricks in the last few years. It's pretty interesting, pretty sickening, and disgraceful. But I guess we need to see this, and I'm just hoping at some point people start to begin to act properly. You definitely have to act properly. They're going to take advantage if you don't act properly. The J6 are examples of that. Or they make it up, and no one noticed it. They walked themselves into a problem. This is why I keep saying what I do behind the woodshed. Analyze the situation, study the subject matter, don't bring yourself into jeopardy, but take action. And again, it requires that correct action. And understand you're up to these double standards. Or you can go after someone who's criminally culpable, and then they have an agent come in and say, but he's mentally defective. He's cognitively impaired. He wouldn't know how to form intent. Well, has he been cognitively impaired his whole political life? So we got some serious things being admitted that are not actually answers, but again, I hear pretty much silence on a lot of this stuff. We're moving on to the double standards of predatory opportunists that are doing these things. The recent death of Alexei Navalny while in prison over in Russia, we have, quote, the EU, Emmanuel Macron and Olaf Scholz holds the Russia regime solely responsible for this tragic death. And relevant directly to the United States government, there's a statement, quote, let us be clear, Russia is responsible, as said by the U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, word salad Annie. The same and worse here, given his presumed innocence, is to be said for the Biden regime. Harris, Blinken, and Nuland solely is responsible through the commissioner omission for the tragic death of American Gonzalo Lira, which is like dropped from the news cycle. They want to blame Putin for Navalny's death, but they don't want to take responsibility for allowing, watching, witnessing the death, the torture and death and theft against American Gonzalo Lira. If we needed another example of the hypocrisy. What goes under the cover and color of authority or lack of ability, and no one says anything. And then we're dealing with against some people like the Blinkens and Newlands and all the other dual citizens, the Zionists, that have no moral scruple about you. You're an animal, and you're being treated that way. No respect. They don't care what you think. And that's an even more important thing to watch out for, to try to protect against. These folks don't think that there's going to be any accountability, and likely when you see what's going on with the president right now, there won't be. And then the hypocrisy relative to the same things going on in Trump and what's going on with him, all still just kabuki theater. So be aware of how these games are being played. And again, I'm appreciative to listen to someone like Putin, if you listen deep into what he's saying and you take him for their word, as I've been saying to do so, and you, I think anybody could have went to the bank with that one. You're seeing the truth before it happens. They're telling you what's going to happen, and just run that out, run that logic out, and you'll be fine to understand how it's going to happen. As I told you, as soon as the United States put sanctions on Russia, it was like spitting into a hurricane. They lost the economic war immediately. The United States lost another war. They've lost. So, and here are all these things. Don't end at the politically charged deaths that we have heard about recently here. So, in a pre-bunking fit, we hear France passes a law that makes any criticism or opposition to medical treatment mandated by the state illegal. So now they're going to run to silence everybody who comes after the fact of saying we're not competent. So you can't criticize that. But not sure really if when I read the story, if you get to this article, read it. Not sure, because I can't ultimately read the text in French. There's a term called therapeutic abstention provision, and this may be where this thing is valid. So we want to read with hesitation an actual application, but it sure sounds like it would be. This law that France just passed to the double standards of it to put the cognitively impaired in power, essentially. France finalizes law to regulate influencers from labels on filtered images to bans on promoting cosmetic surgery. A person may face up to 2 years in prison and a fine of €300,000 if they fail to follow the proposed new rules, which seek to crack down on social media fraud and scams. The bill also bans influencers from promoting cosmetic surgery, quote, therapeutic abstention, close quote, stopping medical treatment and certain financial products such as cryptocurrencies. Paid partnerships for gambling will only be allowed on platforms off limits to minors. The bill also bans the exploitation of wild animals such as bears or lion cubs. Influencers who reside outside, listen folks, listen my listener, listen very carefully here what France thinks they're going to do. Influencers who reside outside the European Union must appoint a legal representative in the EU and take out civil insurance. If you don't think these bureaucrats don't think that they're omnipotent and omnipresent. Okay, so this therapeutic abstention certainly would be those of us that are outside the EU and inside. And we're saying the vaccines are not to be taken because they're bioweapons. Stop taking those. Will be outlawed here if this comes to any force and effect and they think they can come after us. But I've included the link. It's in French. I looked around. I couldn't make out the words I was looking for, like therapeutic abstention. Apparently it doesn't sound the same or similar in French, but you can read it if you want and look to see and qualify whether or not that therapeutic abstention would not go to all medical abstention, talking about all medical things, as we understand the WHO is moving toward what they claim global control over the medical treatments. And then we have them attaching themselves to the endless diseases, or now we just call it disease X of the day. So don't underestimate this story as we're moving through what I feel are some cognitively impaired people in the world who believe they're the center of attention, they're the center of power. Their opinions are the best for everybody, and we'll impose those on those, and no one says anything about it. They are the chosen, but not just in Palestine. And this is that mentality. In my mind, it's a completely dissimilar mentality. It's driven by the same thing, and it's also driven by the fiat system, the financial system, which is really the same thing. It's all really the same. So if this therapeutic abstention is applicable to medical treatment, don't expect France to actually care about people more than the Pharma, these are silent, remember, look at Pfizer, P is silent. Pharma, they're telling us, pharmaceuticals, where it is reported here in the next report, people vaccinated for COVID have increased risk of neurological diseases, a study by the Global Vaccine Data Network says. In other words, France would not allow you to move this through if you knew this and say to stop those treatments that the WHO and France would embrace to inject all of you all with the software of life, the bioweapons to come and to set you up possibly for either immediate downstream sickness, like they call COVID, long COVID, or accessible, destroying your immune system, your neurological system, to future types of illnesses, and they take you out little bit by little bit. But this report here, the study for almost 100 million people, compares the expected and observed incidences of side effects. Quote, the size of the population in this study increased the possibility of identifying rare potential vaccine safety signals. Safe and effective, folks, but they're safety signals. They're rare, they say, like they said all the time. But here we have it. This is a big deal. This is not just a few. And they, at any rate, we're moving on. 100 million people looking at these statistics going on, said Kristina Foksova, the lead author of the study from the Statens Serum Institute of Copenhagen, Denmark. According to the GVDN, the study observed a greater incidence of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle, what that is, and pericarditis, that's inflammation of the heart sac, than expected among those who took the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna shots. Expected? They did expect it, absolutely. But it was higher, even so. You see how that worked? We were talking about that behind the woodshed. Did they expect these to be consequences of taking these bioweapons? But they underestimated their effect. Why wouldn't they? I mean, this is the whole point as well. This is not even new, but now the studies are coming, even though we're almost a year later than I thought they'd be coming out. We thought we knew this. I thought we would have the studies to come and use proving it sooner, but we didn't. They took a little bit longer, but here they are now. Moderna's vaccine also had a higher rate of acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, inflammation of the swelling of the brain and spinal cord. That one is an interesting one. I'm hearing a lot more people that are having trouble, that it would be a spinal cord problem that's affecting them coming out. I'm already hearing more and more people with these, they call them, they think they're migraines, they think they're, you know, they're having walking problems. It's pointing directly to this this effect. And 7 observed events compared to 2 expected within 42 days of the shots. So that was also another confirmation that we were seeing immediate. We also have the 5-year plan coming. Recipients of the ChAdOx1 had 190 observed events of Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS, compared to the expected 76 and 69 observed instances of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. It's a type of blood clot in the brain compared to the expected 21, the study shown. Fascinating. Expected here, folks. And it was worse than they expected. They knew this stuff. We saw that in the clinical tests. I was reporting on what caused me to say, stay away. Find alternatives. First, go to the law. Force them to show you that you have that thing non-fraudulently, and then explain how that the vaccine is the only treatment that stops it. And in that regard, even quarantine would be better, wouldn't it? But they would have to show you, not just blanket everybody and force you in and lock you down like everybody accepted. The study here was part of a GVDN's Global COVID Vaccine Safety Project and was funded entirely by a $10 million grant from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. The GVDN has made the results available to the public on its interactive data dashboards, along with a warning not to read too much into correlations and that the vaccines are both safe and effective. So this is a foreign GVDN for anybody outside of Denmark. They commit fraud to gaslight people relative to its warning, knowing which side its bread is buttered on and who provides it. And notice the prejudice here in the expected outcome from the study is stated in the title, the Global COVID Vaccine Safety Project. We are not disappointed here in this outcome, notwithstanding the evidence as well was presented without lawful context. You got to pay attention to that. I just want to go through numbers. There was supposed to be an application of the law, whether or not those numbers were proper to be even existing. It didn't. So remember, like the HER report, the conclusion relative to Biden's capacity to stand trial, presuming his special counsel opinion over and above the grand jury, taking away both their right to hear and to provide or withhold informed consent. This organization aids and abets the obstruction to informed consent of all people who have the right to decide for themselves, pursuant to a local communicable disease law. Destroying as well due process of law in the process here, and the treatment right for any treatment right for anyone to stop the transmission is what's required of a non-fraudulently demonstrated infectious agent that have non-fraudulently been demonstrated to be in a carrier, one of you, my listener, and is for the once found is for the patient to decide and no one else. And certainly not presumptively before the fact, as they have, and this report wants to support, in saying, oh, don't use there's no correlation here. They're safe and effective. They take that away, just like her report takes away the jury's ability to acquire and the ability to decide for themselves. That was the first point. Secondly, regarding the statement that the vaccines are both safe and effective, all these synthetic substances were not vaccines by the local health law, and it's due process protections as well that is missed by the context of this. And they are, so we get to even see the numbers. They should have ever been there, actually. And they have never been shown to have required dual use on top of it, pursuant to local communicable disease law, which is required in America for bioweapons under Title 50. That's those exceptions. Again, the study doesn't look at all this. You wouldn't say, well, but it's only looking at effect. Well, those effects shouldn't exist if law was applied first. So along with that part, we have noticed the study proves the bioweapon attack at warp speed against all of mankind was, if not a premeditated attack, certainly it's a global experiment, just as their words are coming out to explain it. So this $10 million safety study is now showing these synthetic lipidized venom proteins are not safe or effective. Unless by effective we mean as a bioweapon designed to kill and maim, and this study shows this irreparably harmful intention is fulfilled if we go that direction for sure. So said another way though, if the local law was faithfully obeyed, would one choose a foreign synthetic substance with all these risks over a number of other treatments, being fully informed about those being available, having no risks, or very slightly so, as we noticed in the ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, or even quarantine. Again, not just mass lockdowns, subject, principal, infectious agent, party by party is what they should have done. That's what the law was. So that's all I'm saying. That's what I was helping you protect yourself, and some of you did. And those of you that did found out they weren't interested in you, because that's not what this whole thing was about. So that's the opening question for you to answer here. If you want to think this through, I think you need to. It's very important to figure out how they did this, because disease X, folks. I mean, there's just endless diseases coming. They're moving it along. They're trying to get more power to do things. And you're going to have a word in your mouth. And it's, to me, the same type of incapacity they're imposing upon you, as I see the HER report, allowing an evasion of justice to a president of the United States. That's the same type of treatment here. But I'd say, being fully informed, most people would assume the lesser risks options here. And the fact that on the great COVID swindle, there is no the virus non-fraudulently demonstrated anywhere to treat as a matter of local communicable disease law, any censors on authoritative obstruction opinion to the contrary notwithstanding. That's what the censors did to you, is what the HER report does as well. It presumes outside of your field of expertise and authority and power onto some other group. And this COVID swindle happened to be my listener. And it was global. It was a very interesting thing going on. And this test, this report, explains that, but it doesn't bring this legal context, this law context, to show how heinous this actually really is, while it says they were safe and effective. I don't need correlation if they weren't supposed to exist. So these censors that were also, they aided and abetted allowed irreparable harm that this global study evidences, being now these folks global war criminals. And so we think over the CEO, the ex-CEO of YouTube. Well, she got her up-and-comings, I guess. Her son just died after denying people like myself a platform to explain to people these were going to be harms and you, people needed to pay attention to it. At least get the information so that you could weigh for yourself what would be going on. No, there's a payback here, folks, apparently. Maybe not enough all the time. I'm sorry to hear that, but you see how this works. At some point, there's going to be a message sent, however that comes. So further, if you will look here and understand, I'm not reporting on this news like talking head as we go through this. I'm not looking in the rearview mirror of the carnage as we pass the crash site, oblivious to the future collision with this disease X coming. For those that are still tuned in, some of you will tune out, but some of those of you that are still tuned in, take heed. Everything I've explained since 2019, since Operation Hindsight 2020, is still in play. The defenses or avoidances are still available. As I said, you're going to have to focus in on, and if you're going to just move this, I said any subject matter will have its own duties and obligations. If you come against you, like education and all that, and if you are studying the subject matter, you'll have at least that word in your mouth, I tell you, that's in the black and white, not an opinion. And they can't get around that part. And it also gives you the idea and the knowledge of how to step aside. So you're not in the way anyway. You're not in their path. And they're not in their war path as they move this thing along. And so we would have a better awareness of this endless disease arrayed against us and how they're being staged. We'll watch it coming at us. And we'll be aware. We'll be ready, as I've been suggesting, as I was, this COVID swindle. And you'll be better prepared to avoid that and insist and require local due process to help protect you. Remember, I said it's not federal. We're going to go local. And you've got to have to know that. And that habeas corpus I've been talking about, which seemed to give a lot of people a lot of trouble, that the petition for habeas corpus is one tool, and that one's your friend. You're not going to get away from that, I don't think, because that's part of the built-in remedy for when they come after you with a communicable disease demand. There's a suspicion. You're suspected. You're going to need to protect yourself. So maybe my listener should get to know that beneficial friend a lot better, no matter what France or other official killers think about that, and put it in your repertoire of tools to protect yourself. Moving on with a little bit of this COVID stuff. And why they're attacking, how they attack people. The New Zealand database administrator who turned whistleblower on COVID-19 vaccine deaths was in the news a little bit ago. And he was put away for a little while and then got out. And so now he's an advocate. He's also evidenced a large numbers of deaths associated with individual vaccine sites. And this is what I pointed out to you watching the return data on these. When they were taking the stats, there were places that had no response, and there was places that had no deaths, and some had lots of deaths. And you could see that they were targeting those areas and watching demographics on those things. And the idea was already built into the program and the tests that they were doing, but saline solutions would be used. They were trying to show that they were safer than even saline, which I pointed out, and such a joke that is. But there were places where no deaths happened, and you could almost see the pattern of where they put the saline, where no had no effect, and where they were using these different blends of jab juice. So when you look around the world and you see who's affected, you think what's happening to Julian Assange is the end of who they'll take out for daring to tell the truth. Just start looking at the people they were taking out to advance this global killing field. Just amazing. You know, they're trying to tell the truth, but again, I mean misinformation. Now we have to change our words. You're now giving misinformation, and you're going to be charged, I guess, the big bucks for even attempting, I guess, to tell people. France is put on the front end of all this. So you may not, you think it's over there, but they already did it here. They've already done it. They've been doing it through the censorship. They're just codifying it now. And it doesn't seem to have any resistance, which has been one of my problems watching this going into the future, as people just don't get where the point is to focus on that. They want to keep talking and lamenting about how they got treated instead of saying, no, you're not going to do that to me ever again. And this is how we're going to stop this. So from spreading misinformation, when they find the evidence, we move it into hyper-progressive cancers due to COVID vaccine-induced IgG4 antibodies from IgG4 subclass turbocharge existing cancers. Will likely, a statement like this, despite the study, will likely be outlawed in France and other places. But here we have it for us today to watch how they're going to bring others along in the same technology. It's going to be really similar stuff. And if we learn to go look over the years of what I was saying, how we analyze that, how we went where we went, all the places you could go to find the information, you'll have this, you'll bring in the information to be fully, to bring your full disclosure, and you'll use that as well. You'll ask it back as questions, and then again, it won't be with a local health official. That's the one that's suspecting that you have it. It's the doctor that you're going to have or such that's going to have to work through that as well. The authority we heard in the Portuguese case early on was those courts recognized that the doctor was the exclusive, had the exclusive power over this, but subject to the patient's consent. And so you can bring your own defense. That's why I said nobody was forced. They just never stepped up to defend themselves with what was available. And it wasn't a secret. It was written. I explained all that as well. But this study and the summary here for this, and we'll end right there. mRNA COVID vaccines previously not used outside of a small laboratory animal studies were given to billions of people after perfunctory and rushed clinical trials. The scientists learned in 2022 mRNA vaccines cause a class switch in IgG4 antibodies. Another study found that this specific antibody subclass is associated with more aggressive cancer growth and causes hypoprogressive cancer disease in mice and humans, you animals. Remember, you're humans, you're animals. That's what they said in Palestine, the open-air prison. And so, here we go. Again, I don't say this stuff. This is in the historic record. You'll see the Zionists declaring the open-air prison in Gaza as well. So, you can not listen, or you can listen and be educated and start to put together that we're being run like herds. And it's going to take your insistence that that not happen. Again, thank you for the main parents to step up and say, no, you're not going to do this identometrics nonsense. We're not going to go that far. And I hope they get a little more stringent on more things that they don't need to go further on. But these IgG4 antibodies are usually created in a response to persistent irritants such as worms. Unfortunately, repeat injections of mRNA COVID vaccines are perceived by our immune systems as persistent irritants and cause the IgG4 antibody switch. The persistent irritation effect possibly occurs not only because of repeat injections, but also due to the mRNA gene expression never stopping in half of the vaccs of the vaccinated people. I reported on that one too a long while back. That's pretty fascinating. Why only half? They needed to really look at that. I'd want to know why the half. Who's the ones with the immune systems that aren't being that are not responding? Is that good or is that bad? Do we want to look at that or not? As they come against us more and more and more, we're going to need to be able to give ourselves some protection if we can and be ahead of that. Again, these are just the history of what went on, now telling us the harms, and we can take some time to learn about them and keep that in our back pocket. And if this stuff keeps coming at us, we have a place to go. In this case, I think it was all fabricated. I think they have stuff that they can give us that aren't, and so we're going to have to be able to split that difference. But as long as they're fabricated, we have an easy, just don't get involved. But then we have the legalistic side where the oppressors come after you, and that's the part I play to explain, here's your pathway. For each one of you will have to look at that and do that. You have to do that. I can't do that for you. But this is where you're going to find the information. Just put it together for yourself. So this So this, if you're looking at the study and you're watching with it and you hear what's going on, they're going to go, this is all misinformation now. See, this is the truth of what's going on. The government and the censors consider all this misinformation. This is a kind of clinical provable misinformation causing one therapeutic, it would cause one to cause themselves therapeutic abstinence, which is being outlawed if the French legislation that has, that I've read was properly interpreted by me to stop that. You could, they're going to attempt to take away your ability to even speak up about what you found. And so this is why I say start learning to speak for your, in your, put the stuff in your hip pocket. You respond. You just tell people who are interested. You be careful on how it gets passed word of mouth, essentially, and start to help people that may not understand but that are willing to look at this. Why? Because they're killing you. This is the weapons of war, and people haven't yet perceived them quite a bit. And now we get into the third-party problem that I keep talking about, the censors that are not the government. But they are used to, in the cognitive warfare field, to persuade people out of their better judgment, like France intends here, it seems. Even if it's not in that bill that it extends over to this, I'm suggesting to you, I think that's the first, France is the first flag that's going up that's going to give the idea for it. If not, there, it's coming. This is what they're after. We're seeing it right here with the things like YouTube here, they're going to talk about elections, but this whole thing that they're talking about, this misinformation issue, it quickly expands as needed, as we've already seen. But they're now putting on an aggressive twist to convince you even further out of your better judgment. As we read here, Google to start running pre-bunk ads and quizzing YouTube viewers to fight so-called misinformation. I don't know how this is going to work out, but this is the demand that's coming. I hope people finally get fed up with this stuff and find other places. But little has changed when it comes to YouTube's attempts to influence election-related content. A short way to describe what's wrong with the war of misinformation is that it all too easily, Vince, easily turns into a smokescreen for plain censorship of lawful and factually correct speech. And now, pre-bunking is moving from ideations pushed by murky fact-checking and similar outfits to the very top of mainstream, Google itself. Google is acting in unison with the EU, France, yeah, right there, folks, EU and its Digital Services Act, which require tech giants to act on whatever is chosen to be considered misinformation and suppress it. Much of this is, at least they say so, driven by the Russia scare, so-called. And so Google's jigsaw unit and the EU are talking about democracy at risk. Now, the democracy these usurpers are talking about is direct democracy, which is a foreign usurpation of the Republican form representative government, and actually any even democracies everywhere, but in particular the United States form. The state, a governor, the political parties, and the Bar Association know this and admit to the fact, given they defaulted to answer our lawsuit, a Jefferson Mining District lawsuit in 2013. They know about this stuff. We brought in the sustainability, the direct democracy, the usurpation of the Republican form, and these authorities in your government went silent. Reading this article, I guess what I'm telling you, in 2013, we identified this and we went after it best as we could and best that the system would allow us. They defaulted. That's a win. Yet the courts took that file away. We didn't find it for 2 years, and then they brought it back, and they gutted all the information that was in there. They gutted the answer from the judge, which was a violation of law. And so someone's massaged that file. Doesn't matter. We didn't get our answer. We understand that the system already knows this going into this over 10 years later. We knew that they knew going in because that's how we caught them. They've been doing it for 20, 30 years. Do you think we're talking today on misinformation, pre-bunking? No, this is the big system they want in place now coming to act. I told you it takes a while for them to get it in place. At this point, Google's Jigsaw says pre-bunking bypasses polarized debates and works equally effective across the political spectrum. Users' experience may suffer at the expense of this pre-re-education. Viewers watching the ads on YouTube will be asked to fill in a short multiple-choice questionnaire designed to gauge what they have learned about misinformation. Reuters describes Google's pre-bunking technique in this article, and if you already thought that the ads are bad, now they get to test you. They get to get you to respond in order to watch their product. So this is a direct interference with the participants of what people consider the demos, the people themselves. It directly interferes with them if we've talked about a democracy where the people decide for themselves, again, the right to be informed. They're going to want to quiz you on whether you are informed correctly, again, to their standard. And this pre-bunking interferes with the necessity of people to have debate unfettered by foreign influence. So, well, and this is also interesting when you get property. You have the right to own something. You have the right to get property. Like the right to bear arms is the right to keep arms, acquire arms. All these stuff are to come together when you have these rights and these properties. And so that's what I'm moving through here. If you have the right to debate, you have the right to do so unfettered by foreign influence. And but they're a company, so be careful on how effective that's going to be when you press that up against them. But your choice is to what? Walk away. But here, this is more like pre-junking any debate to bring on the desired outcome of the pre-junker like Google. So this is a solution base. It's all sustainability working right in front of your face, how they work this through. Now coming potentially here to a YouTube near you. So reading on here, these days, agencies like Reuters describe Jigsaw as an integral Google unit which operates to tackle threats to societies. How noble of Jigsaw and of alleging towards Google and Reuters, but in 2016, a report was still talking about Jigsaw as rather what it really is, a rebrand of Google Ideas. Again, the corporate status, the corporate control, commerce control. So what I looked at here, I see the rebrand of Google Ideas. Jigsaw should be named then Rebrandsaw, cutting you out of your free learn and free think and free action, which equates to behavior control and obstruction of democracy, so-called, transforming you into a trustee in the sustainable gulag of the digital future panopticon that they want for you, not them. So if you look carefully, they're already telling us the future on this. We can peer into the future, be our own oracle, I suppose, and see that this has all been planned. They didn't come up with this yesterday. This is all to get your behavioral controls that they need in the future that they plan and want. And I think this is a good time to say, instead of here with putting your time toward them and paying with your precious time answering these questions, they're exacting your controlled behavior to view as well in this, in answer to questions on how well the propaganda is working on you. Why don't you get on over to reallibertymedia.com, smash the donate button, support the network that doesn't intend to control you at all, perform and doesn't want you to perform like some circus poodle or train you to be led by the nose until drowned in the future that they want. Your generous donation here will help provide this information from reallibertymedia.com, like you hear behind the woodshed, not originating from anywhere other than a place intending to make it information available everywhere, and unstoppably so, and so far, ad-free. And we keep you from being the rebrand saw monkey tricks that they want you to do in order to continue your loyalty to them, your patronage to them. Why don't you stop that? Begin to put your mind in you're going to stop that. Turn to places like reallibertymedia.com and donate now so that as we expand now back out, we start putting things back in order, and we start doing it in the next iteration of the internet way. So it's virtually will be unstoppable given people, the participation of people. You can donate today to do that. Like I said last week, whether it's 99 cents or hundreds of dollars. And thank you to those of you that were able to do that. Really appreciate it. This last week, I thank you for listening to the fact that we hadn't had any the week before, and we were able to push over the top. And so now it's looking at the software. We've got all the network secured. We're looking at doing extra things within it, different features that will help hosts as they come on, that will help distribute the content and make it very much simpler than with all that should be coming to handle all that. And that's all being worked on right now. So thank you again for the large donations. Thank you if you can, even a small donation, because all that's going to start adding up. And those of you that hear this later than today, which would be any time that you're hearing it other than today, consider donating then as well. Again, it's a continuing thing that's going to be going on. We wanted to make sure we paid the bills for this month like we normally would have, but because of the need and the dimension and this misinformation nonsense, we're going to have alternatives. And I think there was a viable idea going forward that you can contribute to. And if you can't or won't use PayPal, please send an email for the current alternative ways to contribute. If you can, you can send your gift. You can send your email question to rlmdonation@reallibertymedia.xyz. rlmdonation@reallibertymedia.xyz. And for anyone that may have a question SoundMind is using, I think it's the reasoning is the XYZ domain instead of the .com to make sure he gets your email, because it doesn't get lost in the thousands and thousands of email that piled up since Grimner became unable to manage the site administration. So this makes it a little bit cleaner for SoundMind to handle that and get to you quicker. And he's still having to pour through all those, and it's been a lot of work, folks. I can tell you, trying to get things up, clean things up and make them more efficient, speed stuff up, make the loading happen on the site, getting ready to hook that into other places. But anyway, thanks again for anything you can send and donate. Help us prepare now to avoid and provide the alternative to this ongoing free speech, free learn, and free think usurpation going on through saying that truth is misinformation. It's fascinating what they're doing, don't you think? I think it's the witness of this is fascinating. I don't like it, but this is what they're doing, and they think they're going to get away with it. Well, I guess they will if we all continue to take their tests and go and put up with their nonsense on how well you've been indoctrinated. How stupid is this? But they're doing it, and people are going to follow. I don't know why, but people are going to follow. Moving on here with reading this article, The Guardian explained at the time that the web giant's controversial diplomatic arm, founded in 2010 and headed by the ex-U.S. Department policy wonk Jared Cohen, added, quote, Jigsaw's stated mission is to use technology to tackle geopolitics. Geopolitics may these days have been rebranded as misinformation now, but otherwise little has changed, the article says. And so we move into this and that, watching how they're manipulating our access to the digital gulag. And this amazes me how people continue and don't make changes. But the state taxation purpose aside on this next article, listen very carefully again what Russia is doing and saying. Even Russia explains the threat YouTube creates or is. And if you read between the lines, for our needs, separate from both the state and corporate interests, well, excuse the redundancy if you for some of you that heard this, the redundancy there. But anyway, Russia creates a blacklist for YouTubers. Kind of what I'm telling you. Find the alternative. Walk away. It's how we're going to do this. Don't look in and research enough the subject matter to make a decision, a principled decision. Are these people worth the supporting? And if they're not, don't give your time to it. Don't click that button. Don't be notified. Tell the content providers to seek out better platforms. Hopefully, reallibertymedia.com will be the choice in freedom choice of media, and they'll be able to come to this network. Even if it's not like the radio thing, there's going to be another section where they can come in and become part of the distribution. And some of my listeners might be able to be technically savvy enough to help there too. That'll be coming as well, I understand, as I've been saying. But the Russia creates a blacklist of YouTubers, a new move to force Russia citizens to use national platforms that are forced to abide by free speech laws, as echoed in a report by TISS, TASS, a Russian state news agency, a unique strategy of being implemented by Russia's civic chamber to impel bloggers utilizing YouTube to dislocate and establish their own platforms on homegrown Russian social media networks. So for us, let's just take out homegrown Russian. Let's just make homegrown social media networks. Malkovich conveyed an ominous catchphrase cited by TASS, quote, if you shield your revenues and refuse to divert to our platforms, it is either hastened by ignorance, habit, or adversary operations. I said, I entered into this. Listen for what they're saying. Take this aside for the moment. They're interested in the bots. They're interested in the control. We're interested in the homegrown networking. The unvarnished assertion that the globally popular YouTube, home of several billion users, is being portrayed as the, quote, West's potential information weapon, adds an intriguing factor. Malkovich continued with his critique, appearing to blame the platform for lacking in objectivity and being overrun by influencers promoting an anti-Russian narrative and damaging values, particularly to impressionable children. That speaks directly to the Zionist imposition. They want to impress the children. They know they have to impress the young ones. What I was hoping here behind the woodshed, eventually watching like Generation Z or that, it would be coming on board. They're not having it. So I'm hoping they're our hope, if you will. We're having to set that up for them now. I hope they start understanding the things I say behind the woodshed, prepare themselves to come into power as they come in and put themselves in the positions and in places that uncompromising, principled, and they can get their information, not called misinformation, in misinformation networks of truth, and they'll understand all that. So this is another hope. Everybody knows that we've got to watch the children. They're attacking the children. Russia understands that. And even so, they're looking at taxation. Let's look past that for the moment. A suggestion is valid. Make a homegrown network systems that are not tied, if you will, to the system. This Operation Rebrandsaw, the Google digital re-education camp here. How about anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-leave me the Hades alone here? Leave it behind, folks. Leave it alone. That's what Russia is saying, although they want you to come into their grasp. We don't have that request that can be placed on us if someone in Russia thinks that it's on them. But again, help this network, reallibertymedia.com. Avoid corporate and governmental controls unstoppably, as I understand what may be coming on. Again, it's more and more places that just cannot be tracked down. Like The Matrix is not a movie. We're going to be in the sewers. We're in the misinformation sewers, passing out truth, and they can't stop it. Well, they might take out some people if but they're not going to be able to stop this thing. If we put this thing together right, you can be part of that, making homegrown the real Liberty Media by and for and of the people through this freedom of choice in media that Grimner set up, wanted to see happen. Right, Grimner? So we've been pushing harder now on that. We had a little bit of time to, a little bit of hiatus, but I think there's now a lot of energy to push this through. Please help us do that. I'm a little bit out of it, but I'm talking with the people who are doing the work to try and keep it oriented and keep it nice and efficient and compact, and doing as efficiently as possible, getting things done like they had to do just 2 weeks. We only had 2 weeks to make the decision to how to transition the network into this. And then your help in donating really solved a lot of that. Now we're moving into, it's going to take a little bit more software. If you can donate to that, we'd appreciate it. And it'll help Sound Minds and his crew move this thing along a lot quicker. I'm a little bit excited. I'd like to see this thing move through. Finally, put Grimner's aspirations into play and see how that works for us. And it's not a done thing. It's a creative model moving forward. It's an answer to some problems. And then we'll have to fortify. There's a lot of security involved here, but we'll have to fortify even that. But we're in that control. It's homegrown. Each one of us has an ability to contribute or be part of it. This is not a new, in a way, this is not a new model. You're already watching it in the internet. But it's a more integrated condition for a particular purpose. And it's to fight this misinformation nonsense, and the truth becomes a misinformation only when. The book 1984 was not supposed to be a plan, but I guess it turned into one. So moving in, and what you hear behind the woodshed, as reported behind the woodshed, maybe those British naval forces would be better used for fishing off the coast of England. It has happened, folks. Sorry to hear it over there. Russia tears up the Soviet-era Russian fishing agreement with the UK. The 1956 treaty had allowed British ships to fish in the Barents Sea, taking into account the UK's decision to strip Russia of most favored nation status in 2022, as I told you, I hadn't heard that. That is a devastating thing to have heard done, and they're going to pay the price for it. Well, your people are going to, you austerity-driven British people. You Britons, I'm so sorry to hear that you're just taking it over there. Now, well, I don't know what you're going to do, because your British fishermen will be banned from operating in the Barents Sea, one of the world's largest fisheries for cod and haddock, under a new legislation passed by the lower house of Russian parliament, the State Duma said. You want to insult those folks? Who's got the production? I told you, don't insult someone that's got a production capacity. Russia has it. Big nation, a lot of capacity to produce a lot of stuff. Little bitty small UK, the king ain't so smart. Might be sustainable and all, but he ain't so, again, he's not even smart. He certainly can't be intelligent, but at any rate. It's being reported that the chippies will be converted to chirpies here, where you can order a synthetic protein Soylent filet with a side of order of eat the bugs. Folks, bone appetite, because it's not going to be chicken of the Barents Sea. It's going to have to be found somewhere else, likely synthetically. And another one of these flying duds from the King's Navy lands, UK Navy carries out unsuccessful launch of the Trident II ballistic missile. Listen very carefully, folks. What they promise to us, what they tell us, and then what they perform on. Amazing what they get away with. The report said the missile's dramatic misfired and crashed into the water just feet from the submarine that launched it. This has got to be cartoon world, folks. That's all I can figure out. And like a news release out of Baghdad Bob's notebook, we hear the UK Ministry of Defense say the test was reaffirmed the effectiveness has reaffirmed the effectiveness of the UK's nuclear deterrent, in which we have absolute confidence. The article, however, goes on to say a previous launch of the Trident II ICBM from UK submarine also in 2016 also failed. The only other one they've done. So this isn't the first nuke missile failure in a row, and should cause a row over there in the UK islands, if it will. Again, these are nuclear capable, supposedly, and this is what we're doing in the world. The West, buffoons, absolutely buffoons. You folks that don't now have your chippies are turning into chirpies, spent all that money for something that went dud in the ocean. And then also we look at, again, the naval, the UK Navy. How about the recent aircraft carrier failures or the missile depletion problems in the Red Sea? What about those? There's no planning around this? Are you Brits happy living in the increasing squalor? Possibly your dear chippies, as the military-industrial complex profits from the illusion of national security? Wow, look at, they all blame this on that. They always use it for national security, and they can't even launch a missile. I guess it's going to be Davy Jones' locker for y'all. The Palestinians' payback, maybe, you think? Remember, Balfour? Remember, UK, His Majesty, supported all that in Palestine. Fascinating. Can't get a missile out of a tube. Amazing. And not to be outdone on the military intelligence oxymoron front, XMP, the UK Navy's lack of missiles show anti-Houthi op was a knee-jerk reaction. Commenting on this because I said the Ukraine war on the ground could not be a war when they knew they didn't have any ammunition to fight it. There was something else. None of the Royal Navy's warships can fire missiles at targets on land, forcing the UK to scramble Royal Air Force jets based 1,500 miles away to conduct the mission. Not only do they not have the missiles, they can't go to the land from the ships. The newspaper quoted a former senior defense chief who fumed over the Royal Navy lacking surface-to-surface missiles. Quote, it's clearly a scandal and completely unsatisfactory, he said. Quote, British officials estimates of UK naval capability tend to be rather overstated, Gordon Banks told Sputnik. Quote, not for the first time there has been a knee-jerk reaction to provide cover for military action by the United States. Poodle dogs. If these reactions have turned into a Yemen campaign, then we may have well have made a very serious mistake, which will escalate the problem rather than help. These missteps are cognitive problems, cognitive impairments, cognitive inadequacies. Which one? You go to war without missiles, then you go to war without missiles that can hit their target? That's fascinating. And the people pay for this? The floundering dud of just us makes a louder thud here as we move on over a little bit further over into why all this stuff is happening in the Red Sea, and we find out our navies are not prepared at all. Can't do a thing. Situation around Rafah does not require additional measures against Israel. ICJ. I just can't believe some of these titles. The court notes that the most recent developments in the Gaza Strip and the Rafah, the city here, demands immediate and effective implementation of the provisional measures indicated by the court in its order of 26 January 2024, which are applicable throughout the Gaza Strip, including in Rafah, and does not demand the indication of additional provisional measures, the ICJ said. Proving, notwithstanding the decision, and I pointed this out, they didn't say there was genocide, they just said don't commit genocide, and proving the ICJ is feckless, if not dangerous, because it is not actually a court which provides a remedy and is itself causing a delay to a remedy. And if it is these nations, if it is these nations ever intended for a remedy at all, but it appears actually to me more kabuki theater. To understand, genocide is supposed to be the worst of the crimes around the world. And this should have had a question. When it did, that was your clue. When these illegally occupying Zionist Federation continues Genocide Joe's Zio personal ambitions to allow a political movement operating under color of the State of Israel to destroy the Semitic Palestinian people and wipe them from their lands. And yet Biden's going to be not held accountable because he's cognitively impaired. As we can also read, the fecklessness, actually worse in my mind here, this is just criminal actions of the internationally compromised by corruption court, the ICC, not the ICJ. This is the International Criminal Court. Unveiling the ICC foundation to battle injustices exposed on the International Criminal Court, the meticulously detailed investigation spearheaded by the foundation of battle injustice to battle injustice, light is shed on the controversial operations and underlying motivations of the International Criminal Court. The origins of the ICC trace back to the ratification of the Rome Statute in 1998, a milestone event that heralded the court's mission to adjudicate on the gravest of human crimes, holding high-ranking officials accountable for their actions. Envisioned as a beacon of justice, operating independently from the United Nations and funded by the state parties, the ICC sought to embody the principles of fairness and impartiality. However, the foundation's investigation suggests that the ICC's noble aspirations were compromised from its inception. Ties to the European Parliament and the governments of the influential nations of such as Great Britain and France have cast a shadow over the court's autonomy, hinting at a deeper entanglement with Western political and military elites. The ICC's credibility has been significantly tarnished by its apparent unwillingness to pursue justice against the perpetrators of war crimes carried out by the military forces of the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia in countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan. In conclusion, the Foundation to Battle Injustices findings call into question the legitimacy and efficacy of the International Criminal Court as an instrument of international justice. the pervasive influence of Western political and financial interests, coupled with the glaring lack of transparency and accountability, has compromised the ICC's ability to function as a neutral arbiter of justice. The call for dissolution of the ICC and the creation of a new, truly independent and impartial international justice body reflects a critical need for reform. But rule of law and democracy, folks, this is what underpins this whole thing. There can be no reform as long as the promoters of the rule of law and democracy that aren't removed from power or the appearance of power. Then we have the compromise that's built in to the nations themselves. As I said, when you look back in the 1940s, when the state of Israel was recognized, Russia did that. They should have never recognized that state at all. It's not a state. Anyway, this starts our problem. This starts the taint. No one is innocent. There's always a compromise, and it's a corruption that goes on because people don't actually seem to believe that there's principles they need to follow. And I kind of blew way past, but this is BTW RLM 565. As those that might come in here late, and it's been way late. I should have talked about this before, but always forget. I get on a roll, so excuse me. If you hear it now, it's just a way for you to get back to know. This is BTW RLM 565, and you can get back to the notes page and the blogcaster and all that stuff as well. I'll try to remember at the end. And we'll see how that happens. But corruption here, the compromise, the global corruption knows no bounds. Is us, Secretary of State of Israel, Anthony Blinken, must have been listening behind a woodshed last week regarding the beef and tossed salad dinner I presented. He concurs and says, modern international systems places countries either at a table or on the menu. Right from the news, folks. You can't make this stuff up. Though I just did. But how cool is that? It's right. You're either on the table or on the menu. That's how these people think. The taxpayers is on the table here, is the question here. Is the taxpayer on the table or on the menu? As I read this one, same guy, Anthony, the Secretary of State of the State of Israel, Anthony Blinken. The State Department threatens Congress over censorship programs. Fascinating what they say here. Who's on the menu now? A year after its censorship program was exposed, the Global Engagement Center still insists the public has no right to know how it's spending taxpayer money. A year ago, the Examiner published Disinformation Incorporated, a series of investigative reporter Gabe Kaminsky, describing how the State of, Department was backing a UK-based agency that creates digital blacklists for disfavored media outlets. Your taxes help fund the Global Disinformation Index, or CDI, which proudly touts among its services an Orwellian horror called Dynamic Exclusion List, a digital timeout corner where at least 2,000 websites were put on blast as unsuitable for advertising, quote, thus disrupting the ad-funded disinformation business model. The culprit was the Global Engagement Center, a little-known State Department entity created in Barack Obama's peace drone killer last year in office, and surprise focus on Twitter files reporting. The GEC grew out of the counterterrorism agency called the CSCC and has a mission to counter any messaging, foreign or domestic, as it turns out, that they see as undermining or influencing the policies, security, or stability of the United States. But they will never define those either. They just make the statement. This is the national security poll of license to kill and murder around the world. The GEC-funded CDI rated 10 conservative sites as most risky and put the Examiner on its exclusion list, while its 10 sites rated at the lowest level of disinformation included BuzzFeed, which famously published the Steele dossier, knowing it contained errors, and is now out of business. And I think we can turn our attention over. I think Vice just failed, even though it's been Soros-bought and hedge fund invested. So it sounds like here the BuzzFeed was on the menu to me. Report goes on, there are simply too many agencies that have adopted the attitude that the entire federal government is one giant intelligence service entitled to secret budgeting and an oversight-free existence. They need pushback on this score and have at last started to get it, thanks in significant part to the Examiner as well as the lawsuits by the Federalist, Daily Wire, and Consortium News. The latest National Defense Authorization Act included for the first time a provision banning the Pentagon from using, quote, any advertiser for recruitment that uses biased censorship entities like NewsGuard or CDI, as congressional spokesperson put it in December. We'll see how it pans out, but Congress withholding money for a domestic spy program is at least a possible solution now in play. And all that stuff can come out of Congress, could be helpful if you would go and spend, if you could talk to people, talk to them, get them to start doing the things that they need to do. First of all, how does a taxpayer not have access to that information when that's what they're paying for? It is a fascinating condition. But what else here would be on the menu and being snatched from the jaws of those counting chickens before they've hatched? Wait, what? Anyway, West was overly optimistic about Ukraine. Like we hear the UK. Well, the West is not out of that either. West is overly optimistic about the Ukraine. Here, the ammunition and training were mistakenly believed to be enough for Kiev to win, Admiral Rob Bauer has said. Admiral? For a ground war without naval assault capability? Really? From an organization, the intended establishment of which ceased in 1991, over which a territory, a rump state, I told you, Ukraine isn't in a full jurisdiction, has no jurisdiction over that state, this organization, and less than 1 inch east where it was not supposed to tread. Is that what we're talking about, this admiral's talking about? All these violations? They underestimated the ammunition of a place that shouldn't even be having the ammunition at all? So this is the state of the current U.S. military intelligence. It's stinking abysmal. On your dime, and a pretty penny it is here. Seriously, they should have consulted the guy behind the woodshed. They talked about all this stuff, right? Go to the expert, an admiral, for a ground war. Amazing. On that note, maybe not the shed loads demanded by the mediocre military plunderers, requiring far less to advocate for peace through peaceful means. Maybe my listener can donate what they can to keep this voice of reasoned foundational action alive behind the woodshed. Would you please hit that donate button and bring reallibertymedia.com into its own? I think it's time. I think we've arrived. I think there's going to be quite a push now. I think there's quite a few people that is ready for a place to be out and not be able to be censored like we hear so many of the government instrumentalities doing. And I keep this network, the freedom of media, Grimner intended, and his current legacy and wishes to continue here. And thank you for your support as we move into and one of the consequences of an economic oppression. When you're looking for funds, the economic oppression, an inducement is made. When you're set up to be in a lack of funds to function, you're more susceptible. People make choices. People have to choose then to go to war, and it's the condition right now. It's being set up in the United States and the West generally, as we can read the current example. So you get yourself in financial need, you can become susceptible to making decisions that you wouldn't otherwise do. South American nation denies it provides mercenaries for Ukraine. Any Colombians who are fighting for Kiev are doing so based on their own personal decisions, Bogota has claimed. Earlier this month, AP publishers published a report on Colombian military veterans fighting for Kiev against Russia. According to the report, the Ukrainian authorities have been actively recruiting mercenaries for the country as well as from other Latin American nations, luring them with a paycheck for up to $3,300 a month, $3,300 a month, as well as promising compensation for those injured or killed in action. Quote, they're like the Latin American migrants who go to the United States in search of a better future. These are not volunteers who want to defend another country's flag. They are simply motivated by economic need. Hector Bernal, a retired medic who runs training courses outside of Bogota, told AP. So they can lead a war horse to water, folks, but do you accept? They get you in an economic hardship, you're going to go to war. When you're young, that's all you got looking forward. This is what they're setting up in the United States. As we watch our economy, our value get determined, get down, the jobs going away, it's all been planned. It predicts a war. Boots on the ground somewhere. And you hear the sabers rattling all over the place, it seems. And of those here in the life and death decisions that they have to make because of this, it's not just personal. It moves on. It can expand. The Ukraine is a matter of life and death, says Putin. So this standard is all over the world. This is, again, not peace on earth. That's for sure. I wish it was. I wish we could bring things along to make that peace. That's why I said the law can bring peace. It's a peacemaker if you faithfully adhere to it. In lots of instances, but it's not. And I pointed that out in the Covey swindle. But here, Ukraine is a matter of life and death. Like someone doesn't have economic jobs, they're going to be enticed with $3,300 a month. It's life and death for them. So this is kind of beyond even judgment. But the conflict is Putin says, is a tactical issue for the West, but an existential one for Moscow. He explained that the main goal of his deep dive into the country's history during the interview earlier this month with American journalist Tucker Carlson was to give the Western audience a chance to understand Moscow's mindset on the issue. Putin admitted that understanding all the intricacies of Russia's 1,000-year history is not easy for Western viewers, especially Americans, whose country has only existed for 300 years. However, the president said he believed that it was important for Western audiences, quote, to understand how we think, to understand how sensitive and important the Ukraine issue is for our country, quote, quote. And isn't that exactly how you've been told behind the woodshed, folks, relative to Putin? Exactly. He came and admitted that's what he wants. You need to know their mindset. Take them for what they're telling you. Take them for what that mindset is. You are not going to outthink that. And they've shown the tenacity in history far exceed the United States. But anyway, exactly, life and death decision. Someone not eating in their country, needing a job, they now put them in that place. The recruiter shows up, hey, you want a job? And they say, yeah, I've got to feed my family. And you get soldiers going to war. Pretty simple. So here, if the guy behind the woodshed can figure all these matters out, where were these information accuracy gurus 2 years ago that they aren't late to the party today, helping continue the ignorance problem? But these Johnny-come-latelys are bestowed with the mantle of oracle today as we read, Musk agrees Ukraine conflict is a war of lies. Why is this guy always in the news? Again, this is the setup. Tech mogul has apparently concurred with entrepreneur David Sachs that people are being told Kiev is winning when in fact it is losing. Where have these people been? Anyway, they're in the news. The Tesla, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk, has seemingly agreed with American investor David Sachs, who believes the Ukraine conflict will end in a heavy defeat for Kiev, but that the West will try to spin the narrative in a way to sweep the truth under the rug. Misinformation, folks. On Sunday, Sachs published a post on X, formerly Twitter, entitled War of Lies, arguing that the Ukraine conflict is based in falsehoods and deceit about how it started, how it's going, and how will it end. Responding to the lengthy article, Musk appeared to agree, calling it accurate. I say, no, Mr. Musk, this is not accurate. It missed the landing spot by 2 years at least, and missing the mark allowed those lies to continue to build influence and do more harm. And that sort of irreparable harm, to his credit, bestowed the mantle of oracle. Musk is now nominated for the Nobel Geopolitics Peace Prize here, folks, if you haven't heard, after Obama, who is here to gain your trust and confidence. The confidence man Elon is going to do the side hustle with the everything digital gulag AI drone attack here on you. With this one, as the same model, different subject matter. This Elon Musk is now nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Johnny come lately, mantle of Oracle, comes along. Where was he 2-3 years ago? I don't know, but here he comes to be in the geopolitical eyesight, specter, zone, for people to now focus on. The businessman was credited, listen folks, credited for free speech and giving Starlink to Ukraine. It sounds like Obama to me. Is he the bringer of free speech and peace, though? This is wrong, absolutely wrong on both points, isn't it? Think very carefully of what's going on here. I've been talking about this, moving along as we go. And so what did Ukraine do with that humanizing tech but slaughter innocent people, just like the Palestinians, but the Zionists, of which Musk is aspirationally adherent, has done over there in Palestine to them? Fascinating. Nothing personal here, folks, for Musk. It's just business. And he's going to now be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, whether he gets it or not. And this is all the political nature of these things. So we bring the everything to all mankind, which is what he wants. And we hear now another feature of his digital gulag developing. Elon Musk says Gmail alternative called Xmail coming. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk revealed on his social media platform X that he will soon launch a new product called Xmall as an alternative to the widely used Gmail service. It's coming, Musk said late Thursday when asked whether he planned to launch the Xmail service. Musk did not reveal any details about that when the service might be launched. But from the comment section, I want to remind us to keep our head on our shoulders. Someone said, the Pentagon and CIA, FBI will have automatic access, no doubt. Musk just signed a $1.8 billion contract with the Pentagon. I don't trust Musk. And this has all been told to you behind a woodshed. I've been pointing this out as we've been going, exactly what's going on. It might be nice to have rockets landing on their tails like we used to see in the 40s in the movies, or back then if you looked around. That was kind of cool. I always wondered why they weren't, but here they are. So endearing himself to us as helping humanity, so-called, and yet you look at what he's actually into and what he's doing, and we move into what he wants to, his product also called now, another new product that he brought in just before that called Grok. We can grok this good news on the error-prone front, AI error-prone front. Musk champions, even if packaged now as sarcasm. That's what his bot does, his AI does. Court orders Air Canada to pay up for chatbot blunder. The court has ordered Air Canada to reimburse a passenger for a portion of his airfare due to the misleading information by the website's chatbot that caused him to purchase a full-price ticket. The ruling issued on Wednesday represents a watershed moment in defining the role of artificial intelligence in the business world. During court proceedings, Air Canada contended that the chatbot operated as, quote, a separate legal entity, close quote, from the company, thereby disclaiming responsibility for its interaction with customers. Fascinating, the arguments that a lawyer will come up with. However, tribunal member Christopher Rivers ruled that Moffitt's favor, determining that the airline had committed, quote, negligent misrepresentation while mandating compliance with the chatbot's promised discount. We can talk about those things that when a censor represents your stuff as misinformation. Maybe they're making a negligent misrepresentation. Moffitt has been awarded $483 by the Canadian court, reflecting the discrepancy between his flight expenditure and the discounted bereavement fare from Air Canada. Quote, this is a remarkable submission. While a chatbot has an interactive component, it is still just a part of Air Canada's website. It should be obvious to Air Canada that it is responsible for all information on its website. It makes no difference whether the information comes from a static page or a chat box. Rivers wrote. So here we have it again. As I've been saying, AI is a tool, the improper use of which can bring you liability. Now, this is a big deal. But there was more in this article. Quote, I find Air Canada did not take responsible care to ensure its chatbot was accurate, Rivers continued. So this brings up a very interesting challenge then for the future as well, if you think this through a little bit. Not too deep, but a little bit here. What due care did the company using AI use is a question you can pose to them in one of these issues. And then what was the objective foundation it used to determine the adequacy of its due care? So you can run right back on through these folks that want to use these AI, say it's the wave of the future. We now have, at least in Canada, we now have a little bit of a decision and a view that we can push back a bit and set us ourselves up and against these AI tools that are misused. And then you see the companies disavow that they're even part of the company. So this is a good precedent if and we needed the bar association to tell us, and contrary to what the commercial scoundrels are feeding us as they just continue to use this. The judge said it should be obvious to Air Canada, but it was apparently wasn't here. And all the while, another bar association member advised the company and offered the evasive and wrongful defense to that. Somehow, artificial intelligence is some sort of autonomous being of sovereign non-agency character, completely separate from the company's own activities. It should be obvious to Air Canada, folks. Shameful bar association member advice, causing someone to sue the company for relief and using three more bar association members in doing so. What am I getting at here? Because one of their adages is promote the legal brotherhood here. That's what this is all about. Always promote the legal brotherhood under the deception of justice served is what they get us. Challenging everything here, folks, is what I've been asking you to do. Look very carefully. Good for Jake Moffitt, despite the hardship of having to do so. But we get a big deal here about these AI entities are not. They're just tools. And we move into that chatbot GPT. Watch this last Canadian decision on what's coming as I keep start looking for this stuff to give yourself defenses and places to go. You can stop this stuff up front when you know to answer these questions of these people that want to promote that they've got the everything. You get to pull this stuff out of your back pocket and use it when the time comes. Chatbot GPT of OpenAI founder Sam Altman, alternative man, humanist Altman, Sam. Yeah, Chat GPT maker announces breakthrough text-to-video program. Sora can generate complex scenes, but will be restricted before its eventual release. So who's going to get the unrestricted, folks? Watch what's coming into the future when the propaganda machine kicks in to try and get your behavioral your behavior conditioned the way they want. Nicknamed Sora, the program is able to generate complex scenes with multiple characters, specific types of motion, and accurate details of the subject and background, all based on prompts from users, OpenAI said in a statement. Sora can also create videos based on user-submitted images and take existing video footage and extend it with new material, the company said. This is coming from the newsroom near you, Synthetic World News here, folks, now with Smith-Mundt enhancements. More succinctly said, now with unrestricted Smith-Mundt modernization military cognitive warfare enhancements, I should say. Think about how they're playing this forward. What has been set up in legislation in the past to start coming into fruition today against us. With the likes of the Sam Altman, alternative man, humanist, also of Iris Scan Identity World Coin Global fame. I see people like Kim.com singing the virtues of New Zealand. This techno wizard millionaire is really clueless, it seems, at some point, despite the raw deal he got from the United States and New Zealand government, similar to, but upon the different subject matter, as Julian Assange is mistreated to bring people foreign to the United States into, as determined by the UK courts, the inhumane federal prison system. He's got the same problem on a different subject matter. Facial recognition, technology to hit New Zealand grocery stores. He's saying, come down to New Zealand. Kim, listen, listen what's going on. They're one of the premier model areas for the sustainable future. And I understand that he did accept the vaccine, and he was feared, and I understand the fear, but he didn't go read his local law either, because it was the same way as everywhere. But a major rollout of the controversial technology for the next 6 months. Headlines across New Zealand are ablaze with news of facial recognition technology, swift deployment in the country's grocery sector. Casual shoppers will find themselves under surveillance. This was driven home when the popular chain Woolworths included obscure clauses in its policy for its newly introduced loyalty card, Everyday Rewards. The clauses permit the supermarket giant to procure video and audio material to identify customers in addition to license plate capture. Woolworths has justified these measures as necessary for the purposes of security. Presumed guilty trustees in the digital gulag, if you heard that right. Those loyalty cards, just that, the loyal to the party sesame social credit system of sustainable servitude to the pre-junkers running their pre-brand saw digital re-education camps like those digital ones from Google for you is what they're setting up here. Somebody in New Zealand, I don't know about Kim.com, he sold on it. Everyone go down there. I don't know. Little bitty island at the southern end of the world. Unless you either stand against it, as in Maine, or walk away from every aspect of this future that they want, this is coming to you to accept. There's no out. Loyalty card. I told you about loyalty cards before. They're tying them into that. To the surveillance of casual shoppers. No probable cause. You're presumed guilty, just like the PATROT Act in the United States has done. You're presumed a misdemeanor before you even get going. And moving into that WorldCoin, eyeball scanning digital ID company WorldCoin integrates with Reddit, Telegram, and more. Just as I predicted it would a couple years ago about these technologies, the controversial technology is hitting more apps. WorldCoin, the eyeball scanning protocol co-founder by Sam Alternative Man, is cracking open a wider integration network by adding support for platforms such as Minecraft, Reddit, Telegram, Shopify, Mercado Libre, and to its World ID offering. This comes on the back of cohesive upgrades it has already sealed with Discord Talent Protocol and Okta's Auth0. Digital systems like the one used by WorldCom raise significant privacy concerns due to the sensitive nature of the biometric data they collect and store, like the grocery store, the loyalty card. The other issue is that the identity becomes immutable. Fascinating how fast this is maneuvering and moving into that. And if they can't get you to capitulate, the do-gooder sociopaths will perpetually operate under color of it's for the children. This is what this is all coming down for. Look how extensive and into all these websites and these sites are now as the EU extends. Once it's like a bureaucracy, once you create it, they never go away. EU extends mass surveillance of private messages on Facebook, Instagram, Gmail, and Xbox until April 2026. Do you think Xmail is going to be involved in that too? Another party looking into your stuff. The EU Parliament wants to end blanket chat controls that violates fundamental rights, but today's February 15th deal, it is cementing them in. The EU Parliament wants a much stronger and court-proof protection against child abuse, of all things, online, but today's deal achieves nothing at all to better protect our children, Breyer writes. In reality, bulk scanning makes no significant contribution to saving abused children or convicting abusers, but instead criminalizes thousands of minors, overburdens law enforcement officials, and opens the door to arbitrary private justice by internet companies, he writes and adds. Quote, if, according to the EU commissioner, only one in four reports is relevant for the police, this means 750,000 leaked private beach photos, nude images, and intimate conversations of Europeans without any law enforcement relevance every year, you casual shopper. Now consider, it makes a great tool for compromising officials as well in all this towards the future that they want and where the children are damned. Right, Epstein? Epstein? Oh, that's right. Epstein didn't kill himself. Yeah, see, understand what they're actually doing as well. They come under the cover of a warm and fuzzy. It's not about any of that at all. I've been talking about this for years. So from compromising officials to compromised experts, even one because they need to justify their own false beliefs. We read fascinating stories what they pull off. Astronomers here confirm water presence on asteroid surfaces for the first time, folks. First time. This, if you read this, though, the rendition is so full of fallacies trying to explain this first observation that it's actually fairly laughable. I hope some of you do have a sense of science in you, physical science, what's really going on, how it works. I've talked about the water formation and where it comes from, but they actually want to add more and more and more and more onto this story to try and make some very implausible ideas seem plausible, but in this case, you watch and find how they mix up the phase of matter with matter itself, where we can read, when solar systems were forming, different materials formed based on their distance to the sun, because material farther from the sun cooled down faster than material nearer the sun. That's why the inner planets like Earth and Mars are made of rock, and the outer planets like Neptune and Uranus, no, not that one, the one out in the solar system, are made up of ice and gas, Arredondo told media. Or even here, the state of phase of, for instance, what is, and when they say frozen liquid, what, they miss that up too? What's frozen liquid, folks? That could be a plastic phase, correct? But that requires what? That doesn't appear to exist in an asteroid, this physical condition. Nevertheless, here, when you understand what causes plasticity in materials, and nevertheless here, would likely vaporize in that actual environment any water to be lost into space as well, when you understand the dynamic of what they're talking about here. This is just a mash together, trying to justify, oh, we didn't know there's water, and here's where it is, and yet they didn't even know that. She says, we don't know what we found, but the quantity of water discovered is equivalent to a small bottle within every cubic meter of soil. Soil? As well? This statement's already pushing up daisies, don't you think? And this scientist doesn't know what was found, but it's a small bottle's worth of water. So I guess watering the daisies with this is what's going on here. But did she actually mean that what they found was hydrogen monoxide? They can make up all kinds of stuff now, can't they? Is it fascinating? Don't know what we found, but it's about a small bottle of water. Studying asteroids, remnants from planetary formations, sheds light on the evolution and composition, offering insights into the distribution of materials in space and the potential transport of water to other planets that could support life. Think about what they're saying here. A little bottle of water in an asteroid that they don't know exactly is there. They're just making that up. Sounds like scientism narrative outcomes to me, looking for an excuse rather than the childlike inquiry into what it appears to be certainly what we don't know, but asking the question. No, they're coming up with a lot of answers and a lot of stories, narratives about how this is all going to work together, but they actually don't know what they found. But there's a small bottle of it, they say. It's water, but they don't know that. Fascinating. I mean, when do we lock them down to the truth here? So we look at that, they say, okay, they're going to transport water to habitable planets. This is one of the other theories. I'm so stupid. In my mind, just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So why? How many asteroids did it take to bring the amount of water on, in, or around the Earth we find, and by what evidence, given these asteroids only have a little bottle? And this would also require the earth is made entirely of pebbles, which brought their little bottle of water to the party, don't you think? So how is there only a small bottle within every cubic meter of soil on the asteroid, the same of what is Sophia found in one of the biggest lunar craters in 2020, but different than that found on Earth? The same amount of water in the same amount of soil, but different on Earth if all this water is coming from asteroids. It wasn't an ocean. Where did the ocean, how many pebbles or asteroids did it take, a small bottle of water's worth, to make our oceans? This article is really kind of funny. It's full of scientism embarrassments, actually. And yet I've told you that there is a scientific reason why water could exist on all these bodies, especially coming in around the sun. Any body that can emit radiation of sorts, any kind of radiation, particularly the high-energy radiation, and the materials that are the oxides and things on the rock themselves can offer. And then you may have, instead of a sublimation into space, it actually may have a drawing, the salts may actually draw the moisture in more powerfully than the sublimation power to vaporize off the asteroid. So, but do you think that the Earth is made up of the gobzillion asteroids that put all the water on the planet? Highly unlikely. I didn't see it. I guess I'll give a little bit of credit, but reading this article is really kind of funny. Astounding what they're going to say, what scientism says, in order to cram together ideas and try to bring more non-misinformation. See, they would call what I'm saying misinformation, but they don't know. They said, they admit they don't know. And I'm saying, well, I can tell that a lot of that is that you don't know. It also doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but there's physical science reasons why water would exist on those. And I've been at this before. I told you when I was young, finally got into chemistry class, started getting the physical sciences, into space, astronomy, I started to put two and two together for myself. This is not seemingly too hard to believe that it can be done. You have energy, you have hydrogen, you have oxygen, they can be formed together, and you're going to have some water, like we have all the other materials, whether or not they're set up as a condensable solid because of their distance from the sun. Again, the phase and the material, the matter itself, totally mashed together, totally not reasonable. But they may have found it for the first time. We don't know what it is, but it's water. Figure that one out. And I'm happy to see it, because when I was young, I said there's water all over the place. The energy, the chemistry says there's water in the universe. It's not the only place. Now, whether or not it's enough to cause life to exist or whether or not it's enough to do anything, apparently it's consistent everywhere else than the Earth to be a small bottle of water every cubic feet. And they consider asteroids soil, which I find fascinating. Anyway, neat stuff, but we don't need to take it from the misinformation people, the scientism people, because those are the people that drive these narratives that cause us to be misdirected and take faith in what they're doing, and it'll drive us into the wrong direction. We don't want to do that. We want to stay ahead of the game, and for us, the asteroids, okay, they're out there, that's cool. We have more important things on the Earth. We have more important societal things to take care of. We need to start coming together. We need to get responsible, principled thinkers coming together, figure out how we do this thing better to wrest the usurpation of power away from somebody and bring that organic power back to the people. I hope something I said is helpful. This was BTWRLM 565, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
for opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.